one of the aspects of love we look at is how a minister takes care of those under him. And if we look in a lot of the different interchanges or interactions that Christ had with his followers, we begin to see the care that he has for those individuals. Peter being one of them, and I know this account is in Luke, but it escapes me exactly where it is at the moment. But it was specifically towards the end of Christ's ministry here on earth, and he takes Peter aside and says to him, "Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen the brethren." It was a warning for Peter out of the love that Christ had for him to let him know that Satan was there desiring to sift him as wheat. Wheat represents truths, and what Christ was letting Peter know is that evil spirits, whether they were in Peter's own mind still or from the outside, they were desiring to get those truths that Peter had and pervert them. And Peter was going to have an opportunity to find out how many spirits were still in there in the not-too-distant future. But here's the care and concern and the love that Christ had for Peter when he said to him, "But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." So specifically what Peter needed some strengthening in was some faith. And here's Christ saying, "I have prayed for you." And that's part of the job of a minister or an elder or somebody that is a teacher, is to pray for those underneath them, which is why Paul says in the New Testament to pray without ceasing. He doesn't mean in a particular physical location or position, but in your mind, be, as he said many times, pray for me and pray for each other. And that's a form of this love. So Peter was being encouraged by Christ and letting him know at that point that there was some faith being laid up for him. And we can see later in some of the situations that Peter encountered, Christ told him he would deny him. And Peter denied that he would deny him. And Peter ended up doing that, not because it was his own particular choice to deny Christ at that point, but he did not see that he had that thought in his mind that would cause him to run. Part of the account where Peter goes out on the porch for a while, and the porch represents faith, and that's what happened with Peter. For a while, he lost his faith. So Christ was praying for him, and we can see that those prayers had an effect, because Peter ends up in the book of Acts being one of the best spokesmen there, one of the best spokesmen for the New Testament church. He's not denying him now. He's getting up in front of a group of people and calling it like he sees it. And also, where I really wanted to go was in 1 Peter, where he's writing one of his letters. And in 1 Peter 5, he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." So he is exhorting the elders, and he says, "I'm an elder too." And it's true that he was the witness of the sufferings of Christ. He saw that firsthand with his eyes physically, but he also saw it firsthand spiritually because he grew Christ in him. And he was not only a witness of the sufferings, but a partaker of the glory that would follow. So he had gone through that process in his own mind. And he says in 2, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." This is exactly, by the way, what Christ said to Peter at the end of the book of John. The account goes where Peter says, "Finally, I'm going fishing." This is after Christ's been crucified, and he says, "I'm going fishing." And some people have thought that Peter was backing away at that point and just throwing up his hands and saying, "I'm just going to go, you know, take off." But in reality, Christ had planted these seeds in Peter's mind and the others that, "I will meet you in Galilee." And that's where the sea was, where they were fishing, etc., and so on. So Peter finally listens to that thought and says, "I'm going fishing. I'm going to Galilee," and that's where they meet Christ. And at the end of the book of John, they have this encounter with him. John jumps out of the boat into the water, goes to the shore. And anyway, then they end up on the shore, and there's an account there where Christ turns to Peter and asks him 3 times, "Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, you know I do." And he says, "Well, feed my sheep." And what Christ was doing was, again, stirring up that thought in Peter's mind that caused him to lose his faith, to deny Christ, and to back away from the things in his mind. And so Peter had that opportunity. He got those seeds, and now here he is passing along the same information, to feed the flock of God which is among you. In the natural, when we feed an animal, when the animal's hungry, and we want that animal to sustain its life. Well, spiritually, there's people no different than us who were hungry for God and need to be fed, but not physically, but spiritually, and that comes by words and by spirit. And he says to do this for the right motivation, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not because you have to, or you feel like you're forced to, or you're obligated to, or, well, you know, somebody did this for me, so I have to do it for them. There's this pressure, this obligation to do something for somebody else. Love is giving, that is true, but not with the motivation of having to or feeling obligated to. And that's what Peter is saying here in this regard, is not that you have to or you're constrained to, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Not because you're going to get a certain salary or you're going to get certain amount of spirit from something, but do it of a ready mind. Have your mind ready and accessible for God to use. And that was the lesson that Peter had learned when he got the instructions to feed the flock of God. And he says, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And he had an example in Christ, and he'd worked that in his mind and the others. And he says, don't be a lord over God's heritage. Christ was never a dictator or a hard taskmaster to his disciples or apostles, Peter being one of them. They had a great teacher in him. Yes, he was hard when it was necessary, but only to protect those souls. And so here's Peter giving the same instructions to not be a lord or lord it over somebody, but be an example to them. That's the way most of us got drawn into God, was by that example of caring and concern, and not just on the outside, but we felt it. We felt that connection. And here's Peter doing the same thing.